Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I come to you in the name of Jesus just to share some of the goodness of God with you. And I know that if you'll stay tuned to the broadcast today, that the message that God has for you will encourage your heart, and His Word will bless you. It's been requested over the last weeks that I give some of the testimonies of the miracles that have my husband and I experienced while we had our ministry of Trucking for Jesus for all the many years that we trucked across the country for 36 years. And that's what I want to do today. I want to share some of the miracles that I didn't read about, that I didn't hear about, but miracles that I myself and my husband experienced firsthand. And I know that if you'll stay tuned, you will be blessed, because I just come to do one thing, to lift up the name of Jesus, and I come to tell you that Jesus loves you, and He cares for you, and nothing is impossible with Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless my listeners today. Everyone who's here in this CD or this radio program or wherever it's going out, that you'll just touch their hearts, that they'll never be the same, that they'll realize that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you did not do for one that you won't do for another, that you're not a respecter of persons, and that you do watch over your word to perform it, and it will accomplish what you set it out to do. Help us, Lord, to bless your name and to glorify your name in all that we say and do. And we thank you for it. I praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture that I want to read today is out of Psalms 118, verse 24. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's what I come to do today. I just want to rejoice and tell you this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. One time my husband and I, we were overhauling the inside of our chapel. We were remodeling, and a friend had let us park on the backside of his truck lot garage so we would have a place to do our work. But up from us was a bar. And at nighttime, when we were, after we had worked all day and we were tired, everybody at the bar would just be getting wound up. And at night after night of that, we got to complaining to the Lord. We told the Lord, here we are working on the chapel, and we trying to get it back on the road so we can preach the gospel. And these guys up the bar, they're playing music all night and hollering and dancing and partying. And after a couple of nights of complaining, one night the Lord spoke to my husband's heart, and He said, you got it all backwards. He said, they're celebrating all the way to hell, and you're complaining all the way to heaven. And you know, that's the way a lot of us are. We just grumble, complain, and we don't rejoice in this day. Rejoice in this day and be glad in it. We're not promised a tomorrow. I saw a sign in a church in Macomb, Illinois, many, many years ago that's always stuck with me. It said you can doubt and pout and do without, or you can believe and receive. And that's a choice you and I have to make. We can rejoice in this day because it's the day the Lord has made, and we can be glad in it and thank Him, or we can spend the day and waste it grumbling and complaining. We need to praise the Lord. My husband and I, for 36 years, trucked across this country carrying the gospel into truck stops. We had, and I still have, a mobile chapel on wheels that we took into the truck stops. In 2011, my husband went home to be with the Lord. And since his passing, I'm still carrying on the gospel, still doing revival meetings, still doing teaching, still writing, still doing radio and TV. And I'm carrying on. Every time God opens a door, I try to go in it. God is faithful. And God has kept me, and I'm carrying on the Trucking for Jesus ministry. But when my husband and I first got married, I was in a backslidden condition, and my husband had never been saved. And after a few months of after we got married, I rededicated my heart and life to the Lord. But my husband which his nickname was Bunny. Everybody knew my husband by the name of Bunny. My name is Blonnie. His nickname was Bunny. So we were Bunny and Blonnie. And he was far from being a Christian, and he was very vocal about speaking out against certain preachers and stuff. And he was a hard man to talk to about the Lord. But one night in our home we lived in Hampton, Virginia. My husband was a nuclear pipe welder in the shipyard in Newport News, Virginia. But one night late, about 9 o'clock, a knock came on our door. And my husband thought it was some kind of salesman coming through the neighborhood at that late hour. And he said, "Wonder who that is?" And he slung the door open. And he looked at this little guy standing at the foot of our steps. And he said, "What do you want?" And the man looked back at my husband and said, "I want to tell you about Jesus." Well, when that man said that, I thought in my heart, "Oh, no, this is going to not be good." And to my surprise, my husband said, "Well, come on in. I want to hear what you got to say." We had never met this man before. We had never seen him before or since after that night. But about 30 minutes, this man gave a beautiful plan of salvation, a beautiful way telling my husband that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. And when he said that, it touched my husband's heart. And down by our sofa, my husband got on his knees, and him and that man and myself, we prayed, and my husband gave his heart to Jesus. And that man, we never saw him again, didn't even know who he was, but he has no idea what he started. From that moment forth, my husband was 100% for the Lord. He wanted to do something for Jesus. We started going to church. He wanted a job in the church, and the only job they would give him was picking up paper off the churchyard. And then they gave him the job of mowing the grass. And then we were moving on up. They let us come in and clean the church. And then God called him to teach Sunday school, and then God called him to preach. But whatever we tried, that whatever we was called to do, we were faithful to do it and do it with our whole heart. And that's just how my husband was. And he never wanted to be late. All of the people that knew my husband knew he'd arrive early. He never wanted to be late. He always wanted to be faithful. And you would never be around my husband just a short time, just a few minutes. You would hear him say, "God is faithful." Everybody that knew my husband knew that's what he said all the time. He would say, "God is faithful." He even would wake me up some nights and tell me, said, "Mama, God is faithful. God is faithful." And when my husband passed away and went home to be with the Lord, I was astounded at all the many wreaths of flowers that came, that across it was a ribbon. It said, "God is faithful." The message that he preached for all those years, "God is faithful." But when he would go, when we pastored a church for about 4.5 years, and then God called us into the trucking ministry, and we started Trucking for Jesus, a mobile chapel on wheels for truck drivers. And we would go into truck stops and preach the gospel and witness and testify to ever who God would bring. And my husband was so called for that. He loved people, and he loved to talk about Jesus. And no matter where he would go, he'd always have a pocket-sized Bible in his front pocket. And many times I would see him pull that Bible out and open it up to somebody and let them read what God said. And when my husband passed away in 2011, I took his Bible that he carried in his pocket. And he had used it so much and worn it out so much that he had electrical tape on it to hold it together. That he loved the Word, and he shared it with others. But he always kept a journal of the people that he saw get saved in our ministry, and he would write it down the best that he could remember about them, and if he knew their name and where they was from. But the main thing was that every day my husband would pray for these people, and we would have a time of prayer, and we would join together and pray for all these souls that were saved. And the last entry in my husband's prayer journal of the souls that he witnessed and he knew about getting saved in the ministry was 5,599 souls. I'm telling you, that man that came to our door that night, some sow, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. You never know when you're talking or you're witnessing to that person and they accept Jesus. You never know what they're going out and what they're going to do for the Lord. And let me tell you something. A ministry is not a one-man show. A ministry is people sharing together. It is people praying one for another. It is people backing one another up. We must work together. And that's the way our ministry was and is even today. People praying for us. People supporting us and keeping us going. And you never know how that when you tell somebody about Jesus, what effect it's going to have on the whole world. God is faithful and God will bless, but we got to be faithful to go out in the highways and byways and tell the lost about Jesus. There were two prayers that my husband prayed all the time. He prayed this. He prayed that he could preach until the day he died. And he prayed that when he passed from this world into the arms of Jesus, he always prayed that he would have a sweet crossing. The day that my husband died was February the 15th, 2011. We had our mobile chapel parked in a truck stop, a TA truck stop, in Eloy, Arizona. And we were parked at the truck stop there in Arizona. And that morning, my husband had been out preaching to the truckers and witnessing and sharing the Lord with everybody that he talked to. He come into the chapel and came into our living quarters, and he sat down and rested a while, and he said, "I'm going to cool off," because it was real warm outside. He said, "I'm going to rest a little while." Then he got up, and he stood up, and he looked at me, and he said, "I'm going back out, and I'm going to preach to the boys." And with that, my husband turned around and fell into the arms of Jesus. He died instantly. He had never been sick. He hadn't suffered with anything. He hadn't complained that day. He didn't say he felt bad. He didn't even have a bad cold. It was his time to go. God honored his prayer. God gave him a sweet crossing. It was very shocking to me to lose my husband so suddenly, to lose him in such a way, so shocking that day, to just watch the life leave him. But I know that was his prayer. He did what his desire was, to preach to the day he died and to have a sweet crossing. And you know, as much as I miss him, because we were always together, my husband and I, not only we were married for 47 years, we did everything together. We preached together. We worked on trucks together. We did everything together. We were not only husband and wife, and not only did we love one another, but we were good friends. And I surely miss him, but I know that I'll see him again because he was born again. And his heart's desire was always to see souls saved. His heart's desire was to preach the word. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm carrying on the ministry. And I pray that same prayer, that I can preach to the day I die, and that the Lord, too, will give me a sweet crossing, and I'm believing for that. Let me tell you, people, there's a lot of treasures people seek for, and the Bible says that where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be. Well, my heart is in doing the will of God. My heart is in preaching the gospel. My heart is in going to one more revival meeting. If I'm not coming back from a revival, if I'm not getting ready for a revival, if I'm not going to a revival or preaching a revival, that's what I want to do. That I'm not happy unless I'm doing that. I want to be somewhere carrying on the gospel, making radios or writing or whatever. I want to keep on keeping on. I got a new little car a couple of years ago. I had to get something better because I was traveling so much. I got a 2012 car, and just in about a year and about 6 or 8 months, I put about 55,000 miles on it, going to revivals and going to California and going back and forth to Oklahoma and going across the country preaching the gospel. But that's the greatest calling and the greatest gift. And you know, a lot of times there's people that can't go. God hasn't called you to do that, but you know, you can pray for those that go. You can help support those that go. You can write them encouraging letters. You can pray for them, lift them up. It's many things that we can do to help get the gospel out. And if ever there was a time in our country, in our land, that souls be saved, it's now. God loves the lost man and the lost woman, and He wants us to go out in the highways and byways and be faithful to do what God has called us to do. Many years ago, my husband and I, we had a mobile chapel, and we used it quite a bit, and it needed remodeling. And we were working hard on that, and we were remodeling. But at the time that we were remodeling, the engine went down in our truck, and there we were. Everything we had looked like was just a heap of rubble. We had tore the inside of the chapel out, and then my husband had to overhaul the engine completely. It was just a hard, hard time in our life. And it, where we were at, it, that day I went out, it was cold and it was windy, and I looked around, and everything we had was just like all the pieces, and we were trying to get it back together and working hard. And I went out, my husband was down inside the engine of that old truck we had, trying to patch it back up and get it back on the road, and he was all greasy and dirty, and we were just trying to get it back up one more time, get ready to go on the road one more time, get the truck going one more time. And I looked at him, and I was so discouraged. And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? Everything we got is just junk. I said, everything we got is tore up. This truck, everything we got is just junk. And my husband, I'll never forget the look that come across his face. And a tear come down his cheek, and he began to cry. And he said, don't ever call anything that God has given us junk, because it's not. He said, with the help and grace of God, we'll get it back together. And you know what? With the help and grace of God, we got it back together. With the help and grace of God, we repaired the engine. With the help and grace of God, we rebuilt the inside of the chapel. With the help and grace of God, we made another mile. With the help and grace of God, we made another mountain. With the help and grace of God, we made another valley. Let me tell you, people, don't give up. Be faithful to the very end. I've seen great and mighty, anointed and talented people, awesome people. But you know what? They didn't finish the race. They didn't finish the course. They were not faithful. A man came into the chapel one time, and he looked at me, and he said, Blonnie, he said, you're the most encouraging person I ever met. And oh, when he said that, did I ever get lifted up? I was so happy to hear that. I said, really? I said, well, what have I done that's been such an encouragement to you? And he looked at me and he said, Blonnie, not to have any more talent and ability than you have, and you still keep on with Jesus, he said, that's the most encouraging thing I've ever seen. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't know whether to cry. I didn't know whether to kick him. I didn't know what to do. I was shocked at what he said. But let me tell you, I found out something a long time ago. It's not your talent and ability that makes you a success in the sight of God. It's your faithfulness. That's what makes you successful in the sight of God, is if you're faithful. And I encourage you to be faithful. You see, God will give you what you need at the appointed hour. And a lot of times we think, well, I didn't do this and I couldn't do that. But in our weakest time, when we're weak, He is made strong. And it's not that we should receive any honor and glory. All the honor and glory has to go to Jesus. He has to be lifted up. My husband always insisted that no name outside of our chapel had trucking for Jesus from one end to the other. but he insisted that there was never to be a name higher than the name of Jesus on our truck, and there was never to be a name on our truck that was larger than the name of Jesus. Jesus had to be high, and Jesus had to be lifted up. And I think about of all the truck stops we went, and many times the truck stops would be next to the freeway, and upon thousands and thousands of people that saw the name of Jesus just on the side of the truck. Many times, drivers would come in and they say, I was laying in my sleeper and I kept looking at the name of Jesus and God has dealt with me and I must get saved. We even had a man one time, we were asleep in the chapel and he blew his horn and got us up. He said, I want you to come out and pray with me. I need to accept Jesus. My husband told him, said, I think this is the first time that I ever gave curb service, but he was glad to do that. And in the chapels, we would have services many times a day. The truckers didn't have a schedule, so we didn't. Whenever they came through the truck stop and they wanted to have church, we would have church. We even had them wake us up many a time at the midnight hour and want to have church. And you know what? I don't care if it was one or two or the chapel would be filled. My husband would get up and preach his heart out. And many a times when he scheduled a service, if it wasn't nobody in that chapel but me and my son, he preached like it was 10,000 in there. You say, well, why did he, what good did that do, preaching to you and your son? I'm going to tell you, I'm still going on, and so is my son. My son is still preaching, and I'm still preaching. It stuck. The word of God stuck. I get upset with churches when I go in and they'll look out and say, well, we got a mighty small crowd here. No, ma'am, no, sir. Please don't ever say that. God can bless by few or God can bless by many. Some of the most awesome services that I've ever seen was it's been one or two old truck drivers setting up in our chapel. God would work great and mighty miracles. You don't need to count nickels and noses. You need to look for an opportunity to preach the gospel. God will do the rest. I say this over and over and over again. What God ordains, God sustains. The souls that were saved, the way God would send in the food when we would need it, the times that God would send in clothes that we would need, finances that we would need to make the next truck stop or to go the next route or to print the next book or to keep on. God would see to it. You say, what did you sell? We never sold anything. All of our books and all of our Bibles were free. Anybody that came on our chapel, if it was in our chapel, it was given away freely. We kept food boxes and little care packages for hitchhikers and for drivers that got stranded and would have them something to eat or something to clean up with. And when we'd leave home in Virginia, the front end of our little chapel would be packed full of the bin that we had for these care packages. And one night, we had already went to California and was making our U-turn and heading back east one stop at a time. And we had given away, hundreds of care packages. And on our way back east, I walked down the aisle of the chapel one night and I tripped over a box and it was full of packages that just come in. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Blondie, when people pack their children's lunch and they eat their lunch and they bring back home an empty lunchbox. But he said, when I pack a lunch, I pack it, they are given out, and then you go back home with a box full. And that's always what we done. When we would give out what we had when we left home with, when we would head back across the country, God would fill it back up and we would have food and we would have Bibles and we would have literature to give out freely to whoever would come. We tried to never turn anybody away and never tell anybody they wouldn't welcome. We tried to do the best we could. Oh, yes, we made many mistakes. We made many failures. But you know what? We just prayed that God would take up the slack. God would make things right. God would help us. God would teach us. And as you go on your journey, God will help you. God will teach you. and God will keep you from the evil of this world. And the sermons that we've preached and the sermons that we're going on. When my husband passed away, it looked like I was in such shock, and my world looked like it had come to an end. And I was sitting in a recliner after his passing. And I got up and I said, "No, Blondie, you can't sit here. You've got to get up and you've got to go on." And I said, "Lord, I'm asking you to keep my dance card filled. In other words, keep my schedule filled up. I want to go out and I want to preach. I want to do the best I can. I want to keep on." And that's what he's done. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to go to God's house. We need to be faithful to serve him. We need to be faithful to support his work. And we need to be faithful to love one another. For God has always been faithful to us. Many a time I've seen drivers walk out of our chapel. Many a time I've seen them come. I've seen them give their hearts to the Lord. I've seen hitchhikers. I've seen homeless people. God has made a way to minister to them all. And let me tell you something. Jesus loves them all. We also went into prisons. I still carry on and try to help a prison ministry that I'm affiliated with. Try to help them along Christmas time to give the prisoners a Christmas present. Doing the best I can with what I have. But I want you to pray for me that I can keep on keeping on preaching the gospel. And if you have a prayer request list, I want you to send it to me and I'll pray for you. Many times, as God brings the people, we want to be faithful, don't want to turn anybody away. But God will give you what you need at the appointed hour. God will show you what you need. God will take you, and God will keep you, and God will keep you safe. A man came through a truck stop one night, real late at the night, and he was going to come see us. And later on, he never come in. He never stopped. He just drove through the truck stop. And later that next day, he called us and he said, "How in the world do you stay in that truck stop?" He said, "When I drove through that night," he said, "it was the awfulest things going on the lot. It was all kind of carryings on." And he said, how do you stay there?" We told him, God's protection, God's hand, God's mercy. We were right at home. And I want to tell you right now, the sweetest people I ever met have been truck drivers. The most precious family, extended family that I have, are truck drivers and their family. The most fervent Christians that I've ever met have been truck drivers. The most loving and big-hearted people that I've ever met has been truck drivers. I've been privileged to carry the gospel to the trucking industry, to go into truck stops. The waitresses, the people that worked in the truck stops, the people that worked in the garages, God made the opportunities to brush them with the mantle of God. One young man, he was 18 years old when he started working at the truck stop. Year after year, we tried to win him for the Lord. Year after year, we tried to get him to give his heart to the Lord. But you know, many years later, he gave his heart to the Lord. He brought his whole family one night to be baptized. He bought his grandbaby to be dedicated to the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you'll just be faithful to keep on coming back, keep on preaching, don't give up, don't quit, don't throw in the towel, be faithful to the end. And let me tell you, we will not know souls and hearts that we've touched until we stand before our God. It's not your wealth, it's not your fame, and it's not your fortune. That's going to matter. It's going to be nobody's record but your own when you stand before God. And I encourage you right now to make your record right, straighten it up, and you do that by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I thank you for listening to this series of these broadcasts, and if you would like an entire copy of these series, you can write me, and I'll be more than glad to send you the series that I call Trucking for a Miracle Working God. Thank you, and God bless you for listening.